Good evening. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I am finding victory over a pretty nasty addiction to alcohol, and my name is Jack. Good evening, good evening. Well, tonight we continue on in our teaching series. We're moving into some real work that those of you that have completed a step study and done an inventory are familiar with what I'm talking about. Those of you that have maybe in the midst of a step study, I know you guys are pretty close to, I think there's a men's step study going right now that's tracking pretty close to where we are in the lessons. So you're probably getting into inventory and step four and all that. But this is something that the idea of inventories is something that is key to not only initially getting into recovery and beginning healing and beginning living the lives that God intended us to live, but it's something that keeps us on that path. And so we have two lessons devoted to spiritual inventory spread through two different teachings. So this week, and then we'll have a testimony next week, as is normally a kind of our rotation. And then I will be back up here in 2 weeks to do spiritual inventory part two. And what we're going to be doing in these two spiritual inventory blocks is trying to give all of us just some areas that we should be looking at in our lives to dig into. And some of these areas, as Judy just mentioned, some of you are here in a state of maybe heightened brokenness, because we're all broken. But, you know, there's those times, seasons in life where we really are in touch with that. Others may be here in a season that they're feeling just mildly broken, and that's good as well. But there are always things that we should be on guard for, because the enemy's working all the time. And the areas that we're going to get into tonight and the areas that we're going to get into 2 weeks from now are kind of prime areas in our lives that the enemy will like to do work in. And it's not as in you check one off and you finish that. You're going to be constantly wanting to go through these areas of your life just to make sure that the enemy's not creeping in and planting new seeds, or that you haven't gotten lazy with your recovery. That it hasn't become, oh yeah, I just come here Wednesday nights and we do the principles and we do the this and the that, and again I leave and I have some dessert. But really, are you working the recovery? And so I would encourage all of you, wherever you are on this journey, that you really use tonight as we go through kind of four major areas, and I'll kind of give you some question points along the way, to really ask yourself, and I'll try to pause long enough for as we go through certain sections to just give you a chance. There's not a lot of room in your bulletin tonight to maybe jot some things down, but as I pose some questions from the lesson to you, I would love it if you could really give yourself an introspective search and see if you can come up with a name or a situation or an area that you've been working on. What I really ask you to do is that you ask ask the Spirit to move in your life and to point those things out to you. Or if you're like me, that the Spirit's constantly pointing these things out to me, and then Jack is choosing to ignore the Spirit. And so I would encourage you to pay attention to that voice and start doing some work on those areas. And it's kind of a common thing we talk about. You'll hear from time to time, or actually quite commonly, people come into this room for an issue. I came in for alcohol, for instance. Alcoholic is the reason I showed up at the doors about 8 years ago. I keep coming back because of the myriad other issues in my life, as far as how I am too prideful, too judgmental, too quick to anger, too quick to speak, and these things that I speak are not kind. So all those type of things, that's what I'm continuing to come back for, because the enemy's still going to be pushing those things. Hasn't pushed a drink my way in 7 or so years or something like that. But that by no means means that I'm fixed, recovered, not broken, all of that. So anyway, we're going to get into some areas tonight, and I just want to hopefully allow you to open yourself up to the Spirit to hear what He's putting in your heart, and maybe even put some concrete names or situations to those, because that's what this process is about. So as we typically have, we're going to look at our principle four and our step four tonight. So let's do that. Principle four says, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And Matthew 5:8 is the scripture that goes with that. Happy are the pure in heart. Step four says we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And we got an idea of kind of what moral looked like from Daniel's teaching a couple weeks ago. And the scripture that goes with that is Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. So let us examine our ways and test them. My first job out of college, went to college, got a 4-year degree so I could become a $5 an hour cashier at a retail store. That was pretty sweet. Actually, I was in transition at the time. I was going to be going off to grad school, and that path didn't happen, and ended up moving into the corporate world. But I was working for one of those big box home improvement retailers, like a Home Base, or I was Home Base, but like Home Depot, Lowe's, that type of thing. And so within about a month after starting, I was hand selected to be on the inventory crew, the graveyard inventory crew, because I was unaware of the retail structure and how this worked. But once a year, there was an inventory. So if you take a look around your average, let's say, Home Depot, you got to count all that stuff that's in there, all the stuff that's up in the top stock, all the stuff that's in the bins, all of that. Well, inventory day is a day that you might have even been shopping in a store where they're doing this, and they've got people running around. You hire an inventory service, and they come in and help you count. But to prepare for that day, we had this graveyard crew where we were pulling down all of the pallets of top stock that were in that store, bringing it down, unwrapping it, and counting everything that was on that. And so that's only kind of what I like in this inventory, what we're doing tonight and in a couple of weeks from now, is we are pulling these pallets down in our lives. And even if we can look up in the air and we can see clearly there's 4 lawnmowers on that pallet, we would still pull it down and count 4 lawnmowers. Because oftentimes there was 4 lawnmowers and 2 weed whackers hidden in the back that we didn't know about because they just got buried in there somehow. Even if there was because you had a tag, a top stock tag on each of those pallets, and it would list the stock number of the item, what it was, the SKU number, the quantity, and a date that when that pallet was put up in the air. And that pallet might have been just put up in the air 2 days ago. And you're thinking, okay, I can see 4 lawnmowers. It was up there 2 days ago. Tag says 4. Let's call it good. Nope, you got to pull it down, you got to unwrap it, and you got to count to make sure that is indeed accurate. So for those of you that have been through inventories before, I'm asking you not to just bypass the pallet and just say, yeah, there's 4 lawnmowers, I got it, okay? What else is there on that pallet? And I want you to bring it down, and I want you to unwrap it, and I want you to look at it, and I want you to count it. So that's kind of what we're looking for in the inventory. Sometimes it's bringing it down, there's 4 lawnmowers, wrap it back up, and up it goes. Okay, so this is something that there'll be certain areas that we talk about tonight that you may feel like you have done a thorough, fearless, searching moral inventory on, and you've moved on to other steps in the process. However, there may be things that you maybe did a surface inventory on, and you need to dig down a little bit further on that pallet. So wherever you are, I hope you'll find some value in tonight's lesson. So the overarching scripture I want to throw at you tonight is Psalm 139:23-24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So really take that scripture and implant it in your heart, asking the Creator God to search you, not because he needs the information, but because you need the information. His Spirit searching you, his Spirit then bringing to your attention. What is the Spirit moving in you that may make him sad? What is it that you may be doing or not doing that can lead you along that path of everlasting life? So the first area we'll look at of the four tonight is what we call relationship with others. Okay? So some questions that you want to ask yourself when you're looking at, okay, relationship with others, and how have I behaved? So for instance, who has hurt you? Who has hurt you? Some of us in the room, that's an easy and painful answer. Others, it may be not so easy. In my case, I tended to be the one hurting. I was, you know, the my part. But so I have to really look back and say, okay, who hurt me? Because I was thinking, no, it was all my fault. I was doing all that. I was the one drinking and I was the one lying and all that type of stuff. So who has hurt you? Against whom have you been holding a grudge? You like doing that, holding a grudge? For some reason, I'll get some satisfaction out of holding a grudge because maybe it makes me like I'm right or I'm better. It just never is healthy. It just doesn't do anything. It's like my old addiction. I get a short-term high and then a long-term nothing. And so do you have grudges that you've been holding that you haven't released? Okay, and we're not going to be doing any of the amends or the releasing or the forgiving or anything at this point. I just want you to be in your mind thinking about, is there a grudge, even what you might think of as inconsequential, that you have been holding? And then ask yourself, okay, it's just a little grudge, so why does that matter if it's little or big? Why are you holding it? Just to kind of get into that. Against whom are you still seeking revenge? So that kind of takes it up a notch. Are you actually seeking revenge? And that's pretty unhealthy. That's a poison that can get in us, and that can lead to a lot of hurt. And so ask yourself, who are you still seeking revenge against? Are you jealous of someone? So jealousy, that's, I think, a powerful tool that the enemy has in his arsenal, jealousy. Whether that's in a love interest, romantic type sense, or whether it's a coveting type jealousy of who has something you don't. Whatever that might be, a material good, a trait, a character trait. Have you tried to justify your bad attitude by saying that it's really their fault? So it's okay for you to be a jerk because it's their fault. I do that. See, I give myself permission for jerkiness because it's their fault. They were asking for it. Okay, and that's just a sick way of thinking. When I really get into what is it getting me? It's not moving me any closer to God. It's not moving me any closer to repair in my heart. It's not moving me any closer to repairing that relationship with somebody. Who have you hurt? So that was one that was a big part of my inventory, because pretty much any name that I put on my inventory, I could say that I hurt them. I was, as I say, a drinker, a liar. And so my hurt came in the form of verbal abuse most of the time. When I wasn't just flat out looking at my wife each day and lying to her. Not a solid marriage relational skill. But most of the time it came out in a very sharp, cruel tongue. To all of my close friends and family at some point in time. So I had a big list there. And finally, as we look at relationship with others, who have you been critical of or gossiped about? And that's a slippery slope too. Where is our heart? I mean, there's definitely room in our lives, and we do that here by asking for people to hold us accountable. So there's definitely room in our lives for people to hold us accountable, for people to give us feedback for improvement. But when it becomes critical, when it becomes gossip, when it becomes information that doesn't need to be passed on or something that doesn't need to be said, then we start running. And that's why we talk in every time we break into our small groups, when we read the guidelines, we talk about not talking about not only what's shared in the group, but even just having conversations about one another outside here at Solid Rock. We just have to be very respectful, because it's so easy to slip into just a little gossip or slip of a comment. And it's like how we'll misread or we'll read a tone into a text or an email or something like that. Just maybe a perfectly harmless comment, but essentially you're talking about somebody else and they're not there maybe. So just be looking for that. So those seven areas in relationship with others, hopefully there's been one or two or more in there that you can ruminate on to kind of think about and process and think, okay, that's a start point. Because one of the things that's difficult about getting our inventories going, at least for me, it was like, how do I start this, okay? And so these are the areas where you want to just start pouring in, looking into your life, and whether you then decide to come up with a chronological list or whether you want to start with people, which is one of the reasons we start with a relationship with others, because oftentimes it's easy to go with people, and then you can scattershot how you decide. You know, you list a person and it might be somebody from early childhood. You list another person, it might be somebody from your current work environment. So it doesn't have to be like, well, wait, what about everybody in between? Don't worry about that. Who's coming to mind? Who's the Spirit putting in your mind right now when we talk about your relationship with others? Another area we want to look at is priorities in life. Priorities in life. Matthew 6:33. Says he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. And this is in during the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about don't worry. Jesus is talking to the people about don't worry. If you put your focus on God, if you put him first, then he's going to take care of the things that really need to be taken care of. And so you don't need to worry about those type of things. So let's look at the priorities, some things that you might want to ask yourself, because priorities in our life can lead us down to paths where we can get into issues that may need addressing in an inventory. So after making the decision to turn your life and your will over to God, in what areas of your life are you still not putting him first? That's a great question for me to ask myself daily, because that is a question, that's one of those questions where I talk about anybody can benefit from Celebrate Recovery. That's the type of question anybody that's on a walk with Christ and in a faith walk should be asking themselves that question. Okay, old self dead, newborn, child of God. What am I not handing over? Okay, my friend Paul talks about making him Lord of my life. That's a struggle that he has. I have the same struggle. He's my Savior. Cool, got that. Check that off. Lord of my life? Not so much when it comes to my money. Or my, as I told you before, I have character defects that I quite enjoy. And I'm not handing those over to him. So take a look at what is important to you, and is it putting God first? Are you turning those over to him, or are you still kind of trying to control those? What is your part? I'm sorry, what in your past is interfering with you doing God's will? Okay, so it would be something like your ambition. God's will is maybe pointing you in a direction, you're kind of feeling tugged this way, but your ambition saying, well, that's not going to get me the car that I want, or the house that I want, or the job that I want. And God's saying, yeah, but I really think you're gifted here in this area. So is your ambition maybe getting in the way? Your pleasures. And that's an area rife for the enemy to play in. Because we do, and our Heavenly Father does want us to enjoy life. And he's created many things for us to enjoy in a godly way. We have a way of working with the enemy to pervert those. Any number. So are those pleasures becoming an idol? Are they becoming more important than they should in your life. So think about what are you engaging as far as pleasurable activities, and is it in a godly path or not, or is that an area where you have some work to do? What have been your priorities in your jobs, friendships, personal goals? All of those things, when you look at priorities, what do you place as priorities in those important relationships or those important things in your life, like your job? For instance, is the priority in your job to get ahead of everybody else that works around you, or is it to help them be better individuals? Is it to always be the first one to have the answer, or is it to ask for guidance and questions on things? So just kind of be thinking about what priorities, where you put your priorities in your work life and your friendships and your personal goals. Who do your priorities affect? So, as a self-centered, narcissistic, maybe that's, redundant, but this guy's self-focused, which addiction is prime for that, I do not do a good job of thinking about what my priorities, how that impacts others. And so it's all about me. And so that's a big part of my inventory, is how me choosing my priorities in life has led to hurt others, or to ignore others, or to ignore God in my life. What is good about your priorities? You know, one of the things you hear a lot in about the inventory is it needs to be balanced. Now, I don't think that needs to be 50-50. I think an effective inventory is really digging up what it is that are the character defects. And so I would expect most of us to have more negatives than positives on the inventory. But don't disregard the positives. Okay, what is it in your priorities, for instance, where it is that they are in a godly fashion, making this a regular part of your week? Your priority is to be here, even though you could be other places, in a Christ-centered recovery group, not only benefiting your recovery, but connecting with your Lord and Savior, and connecting with a community of folks who love Jesus. So what are the good things that you have on your priority list? All right, another third area we want to look at as we're kind of diving in and kind of looking at where we're going to find places to inventory is our attitude. Do you always have an attitude of gratitude, or do you find yourself always complaining about your circumstances? Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort." Okay? Attitude is important. You may not be grateful for everything that's going on in your life. Sometimes it's being grateful for things that aren't happening. You know, it could be worse, kind of thing. But I would hope that you would be able to find gratitude in some part of your life, whether that means sitting here, breathing, able to participate, and work on my recovery today. Thank you, God. What areas of your life are you ungrateful for? Have you gotten angry or blown up at people? Have you been sarcastic? What in your past is still causing you fear or anxiety? So all those things affecting your attitude. And finally, we want to look at your integrity. So relationship with others, your priorities in life, attitude, and integrity is the fourth one we want to touch on tonight. I remember sitting in the prison doing a step study, and we're getting ready to do inventories and to talk about that. And then one of the inmates says, or sorry, adults in custody, I think they're called now, says to me, says, I can't think of anything to put on the inventory. And I said, well, how about we start with why you're in prison? You know, maybe there's an integrity thing we've got here. You know, let's look at that. But how blind we can be to things like that. And I was just as bad. This is a big area for me because one of the things, if you've heard me either speak or in a small group, I still am a little bit irked that I have a conscience now after coming to Christ. Life was so much easier when I could just do what I wanted to people and didn't care about that. And now there's the Spirit's in me and convicting me. And that's a real bummer sometimes, I got to admit. So integrity is a big one for me. Have you been dishonest in dealings in the past, whether that's personal or business? Have you stolen things? Yeah, there's a lot of things missing out there that people should have that I have or had. Have you exaggerated yourself to make yourself look better? Have you engaged in false humility? That was the only kind of humility that I had for a number of years. I was not a humble person. And that's why I talk about I am a follower of Christ because I'm an alcoholic. I don't think I would have come to Jesus had I not been humbled by my addiction, had I not literally been on the path to drinking myself to death physically. And so that was the Lord getting my attention to turn that around. But I had no sense of humility. So think about a lot of information in these two lessons. The idea is not to overwhelm. The idea is for if you pick three, you've got a place to start. Because what oftentimes people, the idea, we look at the inventory and we can get overwhelmed pretty quickly because we try to take on the whole thing, our whole life, our whole everything we're, you know, that's wrong or want to fix it all. And you know, this is a process, okay? It's a process, but so we want to give you a lot of areas to think of. I just don't want people to walk out tonight thinking, well, I'm perfect. I don't think there's anything you mentioned there that I could work on. Hopefully you can dig down if it's just one or two things in those areas. So relationship with others is one that I think people kind of gravitate to initially. Priorities in life, that can be a little bit more subtle because we don't kind of see sometimes until we start looking at patterns as we start writing things down. That our attitude, many times just changing that and being more grateful has a tremendous impact on how we're able to help with our integrity as well, being honest and admitting when we're wrong, all things that are going to help us not only as we get to develop our inventory, but to eventually be healthier in making amends as we go, you know, down that road in future lessons and future in our recovery. As I mentioned a week or so ago, maybe it was even last week, the inventory process, I do believe, is the most uncomfortable way for you to get completely comfortable with yourself. And so if there's fears that you have about that, that's warranted. That's real. This is what makes us so powerful, I think, as a group. This is why if you are living that changed life that I talk about out there, people will notice because I think the bulk of the population doesn't want to do this work, and you guys do. And so I encourage you to do that work. Let's close in a prayer, and I'll bring Daniel back up here. Father, thank you so much for each person here tonight. Thank you for giving them the courage to be here and to begin this difficult step of making an inventory. Please give them the desire and the strength and the introspection and the honesty and the humility to examine themselves, to examine our ways and test them. Search us, O Lord, and point out those things. Please do it gently. I know you'll do it lovingly. And we just want to connect closer to you and your way instead of our way. I pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. Thank you.